for bringing us Pastor Nelson and also Mitzi to our midst. We have a weekend of fellowship, learning, and mutual encouragement. And today, Pastor Nelson is going to share with us from the Word of God in Luke chapter 2. Please pray for him and also pray that God would continue to build up his church. Pastor Nelson, thank you.
Tess, good morning.
Good morning.
Wow. Merry Christmas. Have you bought gifts yet?
No.
Don't forget. I would like to post my name and my address just in case you want to send those gifts. But Christmas is really just around the corner. It's getting colder. And I was checking the temperature last night. Here in D.C. it was around 25 degrees Celsius. And then I checked the temperature in Rhode Island, especially where the city where we live, it was 17 degrees Celsius. So I don't know if we're really excited to go home, but and I was told that it was going to rain, to snow today in Rhode Island, so I hope our flights will not be delayed. But again, it's part of the season that we look forward to. May not be the kind of weather we look forward to, but anticipating the coming of Christmas, the message that the Lord God has delivered to us is truly exciting. I am excited about Christmas, especially when I recall the times that when I was growing up, I love the fact that, I will be going around the community, especially with families, eating a lot of food, and anticipating the gifts from aunties and uncles. It's truly wonderful. Unfortunately, during those days, I truly did not understand what Christmas was all about. It was a festive celebration. I am told, and correct me if I'm wrong, here in the U.S., Thanksgiving is more popular than Christmas. Is that true? No? Is it Christmas? Oh, okay, then I am lost. Because out in Rhode Island, they say, no, it's Thanksgiving. So in D.C., it's Christmas. Well, I'd like to share something with you today about our perception of what Christmas is and what I remember about Christmas. If you can see the picture that I have prepared for you, this slide, it's actually a very wonderful depiction of the birth of the Messiah together with Mary and Joseph. I'm assuming that it's Mary and Joseph, right? Right in the middle. And on the left of the screen or the slide are the shepherds. Why do I say that? Because they have staffs. To the right are probably the wise men. And why? Because contrast warm clothing that they are wearing. The ones to the right looks more classy, probably Louis Vuitton or what. The other one here is from, the left is from Walmart or TJ Maxx, we'll see. But what is also interesting is that the wise men and the shepherds know how to give way to the camera so that the family, the Holy Family is focused there. And of course at the background where, I don't know who those characters are, but it's supposed to be a stable. Again, this is a picture that I appreciated when I was growing up, something that will remain with me until, of course, we look at what the scripture is trying to say. Next slide, please. Let's check this out. Of course, this is a version of a Christmas story where it is in a stable and there are quite a number of animals in it. And this is what you will find in some Christmas cards that you probably have received in the past. I have one Christmas card like this that I received, and that's why I posted it here, because it's just very encouraging and a very happy picture that I can recall. And let's look at the other slide, please. And, of course, another version of a Christmas card, Christmas story. At this point, what is interesting is that the stable is very isolated from the city. I don't, just to share with you, this is not historically accurate, because during those days, if you look, if you study how people take care of their cattle or their animals, they will try their best to keep their animals that they care for within the house. You don't put a stable out in the middle of nowhere, because if not, either the wolves will take over the stable, or somebody will steal your property. So this is, but this is truly very inspiring, knowing that there's the star of David there. Oh, no, the star that is guiding probably the wise men in search of the baby Jesus. There is also one suggestion which many of us probably are aware of, and that is a picture like this also suggests the humility of the Messiah, because the Messiah was born in a lowly manger out in the middle of the stable, and it is suggesting and teaching us that the Lord, who happens to be the King of all kings, came to earth and to show not only to save the world, but he came as born in a manger in a very lowly and lowly picture, and a picture of humility. In fact, if you will not mind me reading there was a person who suggested the reading of this kind of situation, and it focuses on the picture of humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. The next slide, please. I missed this one. This was out in the neighborhood. Very, very different picture of the nativity. Of course, they must be freezing if in this kind of depiction. So if we go to the, of course, this is, of course, a lowly picture of the manger where Jesus was he was allegedly born in this kind of manger. This is, of course, another picture of the more accurate depiction of what is a manger during those days, where their animals will feed from, as how their owners would take care of them. And another one, a picture of a more common kind of manger during those days. So this is the text that I'd like to share with you, and it was written by Mark Anderson in his website, Mark Anderson Ministries, on the 22nd of December 2010. He says here, Christmas is the season we can learn so much about Christ-like humility, how Jesus entered this world, lived his life, and how he completed his course. Even though he was God the Creator, come to earth in the flesh, he did not come with pomp, flaunting his wealth and power in an arrogant way. He was born in a manger, which represents he came in humility. Think about it. The highest being in the universe humbles himself to get on our level, born in a manger. Any one of us here born in a manger? No, not yet. Well, let me just continue. Even though he was born in a manger, Jesus did not live in poverty. He was prosperous enough to fund his ministry. Jesus said, "I am meek and lowly of heart." He is humility in its purest form. So the concept of humility was attached to the story of the birth of Jesus. Why? Because he was most likely, they say, born in a manger like this. I have a beautiful suggestion for you this morning on how we can alternatively read the story of Jesus' birth, and it has something to do not really on the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ, but actually it has something to do about you and I. So I'm going to guide you to read with me the passage in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. But this time, after reading it, I will guide you through to what actually is going on in this passage. Some of you have heard me teach in Sunday school You might think, here we go again, we're doing a nitpicking, but I have a point, and I think it will really open up the scripture for us and understand what is God doing here and what has he in store for us today. So in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20, bear with me as we read the scriptures. Later on, we will go through this again. It says here, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all had been told them about this, amazed, and the shepherds said to them, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. If you don't mind, Melody, if you can go to the first. That is good. Thank you. There are two versions of the birth narrative. One is here in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. And this is the place where you will find the shepherds looking for the baby Jesus, being the Messiah. The other version is found in the Gospel of Matthew. In the Gospel of Matthew, this is where you will see the version of the Magi, or the wise men, searching also for the Savior, the Messiah. The concept of a manger, the manger that you have, your version of a manger here in front of you, the concept of a manger is only found in the Gospel, in the version of the Gospel of Luke. In the Gospel of Matthew, what is highlighted there is actually the star that guided the wise men to look for the baby Jesus. So we will focus on the Gospel of Luke. And what is the Lord trying to tell us from this version of the story? Is it really talking about humility of the Lord Jesus Christ, where in fact you will not even find the word humility in the story itself? In other words, if the focus is on the humility of the baby Jesus and the family itself, and how Jesus, being God himself, took on the flesh of man, came down to earth and be born in a manger like this, to project humility, I am convinced that the author himself would have suggested that in the first place. He would have mentioned that to say that this is how humble our Lord Jesus Christ is. I'm not saying that he is not humble. I'm not saying that Jesus is not the picture of humility at all. He is, in fact, presented to us by the scripture in several passages in the scripture, especially the Apostle Paul, that he is a humble servant of the Father. But in this story, what is God trying to say to us right at this very moment. Let me guide you with this story. Look at how and what are the things we will find in this Bible version. It says here to tell us about the birth and the coming of the Messiah. The author started with saying, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. In other words, Caesar Augustus, who happens to be the emperor during those days, made a decree, the first kind of census that would that was ordered by the Roman Empire, so that they will know the people, the population under the Roman Empire. He ordered a census. You know what this means? This means that, and by the way, you can see this in historical books. This actually happened. And for the author to start suggesting, to start the story of the birth of the Messiah, placing it in a historical setting like this, this means that what happened was authentic. It is historical because there was indeed a census, the first census that the emperor had ordered in the entire Roman Empire. So he said, issued a decree. I am issuing a decree. A census should be taken of the entire Roman world. The text says, the author even says, this was the first census that took place while who was governor of Syria? Quirinius was governor of Syria. And so the text says, and everyone went to their own town to register. You can only register where the town where you were born. And this is why Joseph and Mary, Joseph himself, had to go back to Bethlehem because of this census. Everyone under the Roman Empire was ordered, you go back to where you need to go because you need to register for tax purposes to the place where, the original place where you were born. So I can just imagine people going to the airports, people going to buses. Well, in our version today, well, we had to go home. Why? Because we need to register. So all of us will be, especially, but if you live in D.C. and you were born in D.C., well, that's good for you. But if you were born in Alaska, you will have to go back to Alaska to register. In this case, Joseph had to do that. And Mary was pregnant at that time. But they had to follow the decree because it was ordered by the emperor. And during those days, Luke was saying, Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Let's move on. So the version says, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. Very clear. The reason why Joseph had to go back was because he was from the line of David and he was born in Bethlehem, and they had to go and register. Together with him, of course, is his wife Mary. Verse 5, he went there to register with Mary, they were not married yet, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room available, no guest room available for them. Now, listen carefully. It's very simple. It says here that the reason why the baby Jesus was placed in a manger was because there was no more room, no more guest room available. Why was the town the bed and breakfast or hotels? Why were the hotels, the inns, and other houses were filled up? Why? Because there was a census that was ordered. There was a census that was ordered. Everyone going home to their place of birth to register. It so happened that Mary was already pregnant. When they got to Bethlehem, they were probably looking for hotels. There were no advance reservations during those days. So they went and looked, and they didn't find any more space. What did they find? Probably a stable. And unfortunately, I mean, I don't know if it is unfortunate, but that was part of God's plan. Jesus was born, Mary gave birth, and the thing that they had to do was to, what they did, they wrapped Jesus in swaddling clothes, and they placed him in a manger because there was no more room available. Why wasn't there any room available? Because there all of the guest rooms, all of the inns, all of the hotels were packed. They were all fully booked. Why were the hotels fully booked? Because everyone was going back to their hometowns. Why were they going back to their hometowns? Because there was a decree. And what was the decree? That everyone should register for tax purposes. That's my assumption, for tax purposes, because it was decreed by Caesar Augustus himself. So, why was Jesus in a manger? Because all of these reasons. It has nothing to do, at the moment, nothing to do with humility. It has something to do with what God is planning to reveal. So what happened? What happened here, if you don't mind? Look, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. I've always asked the question, what did the shepherds do that they were so fortunate enough to be the first recipients of the news that the Savior has been born? Why were they chosen to be the ones to receive the news from the angels that Jesus was born? And you can see so many suggestions in the Bible. Well, because the shepherds are this and the shepherds are that. I have just one simple proposal. Well, the reason why they were the ones who received the news from the angels and the heavenly host, well, it was evening and they were the only ones out in the field. They were looking after their sheep. The others probably are back home sleeping. So they were out in the field, and it so happened that the angel revealed about the news that the Messiah has been born. The Messiah has been born. And then the heavenly host started singing. And if you will closely look at what happened here, it says here, and in verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. By the way, during those days, if you look at the scriptures, every time an angel appears before before a person or an individual, their initial reaction, which is also true, is that you need to be terrified. Because in the Old Testament, when an angel of the Lord appears to you, that normally suggests that you are in trouble. And the angel, of course, brings news of wrath because you have been disobedient before the Lord Yahweh. But in this case, when the shepherds have seen the angel, they were terrified. But the angel, of course, assured them, don't be terrified because I have some good news for you. He says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. I'm saying this because I'm amused at some of the homes, Christian brothers and sisters that I have visited in my ministry. I see that there are, some of them are collectors of mini angels at home. And they are so happy angels. I was just reflecting back that, boy, in the Bible, when you see an angel, you should be terrified. But in this case, I even saw a collection of angels in the bathroom. I said, wow, these angels are really good angels, right? In this case, it says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Wait a minute. This is what we read before. It says here, the angel told the shepherds, do you know how you will be able to see and find the baby in Bethlehem? You will go there and you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So here we begin to understand the purpose of God, why the baby is lying in a manger. Because when the shepherds will go to this big city of Bethlehem, where everyone is, the city was packed with so many people, with other babies in the city, there will be only one baby that you will see in a manger, and that is the Messiah himself. In other words, the very purpose of the ordering of the census, which led to the registry of those who were born in that city, which led to people flocking into their cities, which led to all of the hotels and inns and all of the homes were packed with so many people. Well, when there was no more room for the baby Jesus to be accommodated, so that's why they placed him in a manger. That has a specific purpose. It was all planned by God, so that when the shepherds will have to confirm that the Jesus, the Savior, has been born, all they needed to do was to look for a baby on a manger, because nobody would put a baby on a manger. If not, if you do, then the animals would probably eat what is on the manger. But in this case, it was for a specific purpose. You go to Bethlehem, and you will see, if you want to see the baby, there was no star in the version of Luke. All you will do is that seek and go. Find a baby. How will you know that he is the Messiah? He is a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. From the very beginning, it was God who planned this thing. The census, the decree, the flock of people, the rooms being occupied, and Jesus being placed in a manger. Not to simply suggest it was a humble beginning, but God had a purpose. What was that purpose? From the very time Adam and Eve fell and committed a sin, God already had planned a rescue. He had already set out a plan to send his only begotten Son to die for mankind so that we will be saved. This was part of the plan. The plan was is that he will be placed in a manger so that the shepherds will see and recognize who this baby is, which was announced by the angels. It was part of God's plan. Let's move on. It says here, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, look at what they say. Hey, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph. And look at this. And the baby who was lying in a manger. This was exactly what the angels told us. This is the baby. Why? How do you know? All babies look alike. No, wait. Well, because he's lying in the manger. Wrapped in cloths, lying in the manger. So when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Everything was planned by God himself. He prepared the plan for our salvation, for the baby Jesus to be recognized as the Savior of the world. But that is not done yet. Look at what's going to happen. Next slide, please. Look at this manger. I think this was the kind of manger that was used during those days, because it was more of a common manger. And then look at chapter 23, verse 50 to 53. Now, this is the passage that you will find at the end of the Gospel of Luke. And let's read it. Let me read it for you. Now, there was a man. This was when Jesus was already crucified, and he died for us. There was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. And look at this. Then he took Jesus' body down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one which no one had yet been laid. They took down the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. They wrapped it in cloth, and they placed them in a tomb cut in rock, one no one had been laid yet. Let me emphasize this again. During the time when Jesus was born, no one had been laid in a manger, only the Lord Jesus Christ. When our Lord Jesus Christ died, he too was wrapped in cloth, and he was laid in a tomb cut in the rock, when one which no one had been laid. Let's move to the last slide. Sorry, I didn't get it. Well, you will find the tomb that was cut during those days were also rocks. What do you find here, my brothers and sisters? If there's anything I would like to share with you before, I mean, before even we leave, is that God, from the very beginning, had a plan, and He completes His plan. His plan was for Jesus to be born, not just to be admired on how humble He is, but He has a plan all the way to complete it, and that was for Jesus to die on the cross. Just as how He was seen to be wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger, His dead body was taken down, wrapped in linen cloth, placed in a rock tomb where no one had been laid. What does this tell us? It tells us that God means to complete what He had planned in the first place. And what does this mean for us? By the way, our Lord Jesus had completed His mission. He overcame death. He triumphed over death. He is now in heaven, and He will be our coming King to continue His reign here on earth. And us, we will be with Him. But what does this mean for us now? The reason why you're here in this church is not an accident. This is part of God's plan. And for some of us here who may be thinking, there are times that you cannot hear the Lord Jesus hear our prayers. No, no, no. Don't be discouraged. God hears your prayers. And while you're here, you might be thinking, what am I here for? Don't be discouraged. Because when God plans, He completes His plan. He has a plan for you. And He will complete His plan, His very plan for you, just as how He planned His our salvation through the birth of His Son and the death of His Son on the cross. His plan for us individually and His plan for this church will be completed. The question is, are we prepared to fulfill this plan and this plan to be completed with God's plan? Are we prepared to work with Him? Are we prepared to obey Him? Are we prepared to give our whole being to Him so that His plan will be completed? Yourself, and look at the brother and sister next to you. Tell your brother and sister right now, hey, God has a plan for you. Go ahead. Tell him this. God has a plan for you. You exist right at this very moment because God has a plan for you. The question is, will you allow God to fulfill and complete His plan in your life? God does not back out. God does not just say, oh, I made a mistake. No. He had made a plan for you. He has a plan for this church. He will complete it. But the question, of course, is, are we going to work with God so that this plan in my personal life and in our community, that plan will be completed? What is the message of Christmas? God fulfilled His plan. Even if He had to give His only begotten Son for you, He did not back out. He completed His plan. That's why you are saved. That's why you're in this church. That's why you worship Him. The question is, will you allow His plan in your life to be completed too? He has a purpose. You have a purpose. This church has a purpose of existence. Let's listen and allow Him to complete His plan in our lives. And may His name and His name alone be glorified. Bow your heads with me, please. Our God, we thank You so much for what Christmas stands for. Christmas, the birth of the Savior. Indeed, the name Savior, the title Savior, Savior of the world, our Savior. You have planned this. You have set this out from the very beginning, Lord God. Why? Because You love us. You love us so much that You even had to give Your only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. The good news, Lord God, is not that not only that we are saved through the sacrifice of Your Son, but the good news also is that once You have set out a plan, You aim to fulfill it. You allowed us to be here in this world. We were born in this world. You brought us together as a church. You made Yourself known to us, and we worship You as our Savior and Lord. Not simply because we want to live a good life and be in heaven, but we have a purpose of existence. You have a plan for us. Forgive us, Lord, for at times we are discouraged. Forgive us, Lord, for at times we doubt. And forgive us, Lord God, for at times we just veer away from the path that you have carved out for us. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we will work out this plan in our lives, your plan in our lives, with you. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will always take our hand and guide us and let us stay in the plan that you have prepared for us. Thank you for the assurance that your promises are true. Thank you for the assurance that whatever you have started out in our lives, you will complete it. And thank you, Lord God, for us growing and learning in you. We praise you, Lord God, and we aim to always glorify you. Thank you for this church, Lord God. I know that you have a purpose for CCC, why this church is right in the middle of DC, Lord. And we pray as one church, as we unite our faith, we will fulfill your plan in us, and your name will be glorified. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.